I invite you to take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's good to be here tonight, and I hope that things are going well. It's a little bit of a sad week for us because it's quickly going by, and we're halfway through the last week of summer for teachers, and yeah, we won't dwell on that too much longer, but it's coming up quick. I appreciate prayer again for the school year. But I've been thinking about a word that I spoke on actually back in May, and I know that doesn't mean anything because most of you don't remember that far back anyway, especially if I was the one speaking. You're like, oh, he preached on that? No, I could preach the same message probably every 3 weeks and nobody would know, but that's the way it goes. Y'all can laugh a little bit. It's all right. My goodness. Is everybody that tired? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It's that word that we talked about last time back about 2 or 3 months ago in May about the word established, and I went back to that and I really kind of developed that a little bit more in a little bit different direction with two of the Greek words that are used or translated as established or established from the Greek into our English. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll start there, verse number 21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. You can kind of put a period there if you want to, but he goes on, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So here we read that we're established together as believers in Christ. You know, if you compare your life before Christ to what it was after, you see that there was a lot of perhaps turmoil or a lot of uncertainty. I was talking to a parent today and he was kidding around. He said, yeah, such and such a thing in my life, that was BC. That was before Christ. And maybe you think of things like that as well. Things in your life maybe that were before Christ and now your life after Christ. You know, turmoil, perhaps, uncertainty, instability, wavering, changing, double-mindedness, a lot of things like that, typically characteristic of our culture and our world today, where people move quickly from one thing to the other. But compare your life before to your life in Christ. Being in Christ brings a stability to your life. It brings a establishment, as the word we have here in English. And again, the Greek here, it's a little different than the word we looked at back in May. This word is babio, and it has the idea, again, of stabilization, of taking something that is, you know, questionable or a little bit wavy or not really sure and to making it firm. I know Isaac was talking at lunch about how he's got his 10,000-pound trailer loaded with like 12,000 pounds of dirt or something, and which may not be very smart. And he talked about it was kind of hard driving in the rain with that thing, a little instability there, you know, so you got to watch those kind of things. Perhaps that's our life, of course, in the flesh, our life in sin. It's unstable. It can quickly fall to pieces. But in Christ, and as this verse says, God has taken us and anointed us, and we are in Christ, and God is the one that has established us. He's established us and made us firm, or set us on a base, made us constant, made us unwavering. And so we are set in Christ, like a structure, so to speak, that doesn't move or doesn't change. And the Lord has done this for us. Now, I thought about that in the light of structures and things. And I got to thinking, I don't know why, but I got to thinking about concrete. You know, if you have maybe a firm, I don't know how all that stuff works. I'm not Ryan. Ryan's a big civil engineer here, and he knows how the compressions and the mixtures and all this stuff as he engineers these bridges. And hopefully that we won't hear about Ryan in the future on one of those bridges that collapse or something. Right, Ryan? We don't want to hear your name in that mix at all, but Ryan wouldn't do that. He's a good engineer, and he knows all about this stuff and how they mix it together and the proper factors that go into that. But, you know, you think about perhaps maybe steel or something, and then maybe there's a steel structure or steel beams, and they pour a concrete wall in between or something like that. You have this basic structure there, something that's firm like steel, but then you're going to pour or add some concrete or something like that into it. And there's a lot of factors that go into that. I just did a quick Google. I'm not Ryan, but I Googled. So anybody can be an engineer if you have the internet. Pop, get the internet. You can be an engineer. Okay. Won't let you be an engineer or get the internet. I don't know. But anyway, I Googled a few things. There's some factors that go into a concrete mixture, like the water versus concrete ratio, or what they call aggregate. I guess that's like rocks and stuff, Ryan, that they throw in there. And then there's this compression that goes in. And then there's factors like the temperature that maybe could affect how it dries, or the humidity in the air, and all these different things. And there's different factors that influence the strength or the stability of that structure or of that concrete as it dries. I kind of got to thinking about that in even our Christian life. There are we're in Christ and there's a firm structure there. But I got to thinking, what about the responsibilities we have Now, what about our stability? What kind of factors are in our lives that would bring stability as well? Because, of course, we're stable in Christ. There's no question about that. Christ is immovable. He's stable. He's firm. He's established. It's unwavering. But many times we, in our even in our Christian lives, we tend to perhaps mix a little bit of our thinking in. We perhaps tend to mix a little bit of the world in. We perhaps tend not to be as faithful to the Lord as we ought to be. And so there's another Greek word that we're going to look at later that deals with that. But first of all, let's look at how this word of stability and structure in Christ, what are we? There's three passages in the New Testament that use this word, and it's translated as established or strong. The first one is in 2 Corinthians that we've just looked at, that God has made this firm base possible. Again, we are firm and established because we're in Christ. You know, as the verse says, that we're in the Father's hand. We're in the hand of Christ, and we can't be plucked out. And the different things that, you know, nothing evil will come to us. You know, we're eternal in our salvation, so forth, many wonderful things. We're firm because we are in Christ. Look also over a few pages to the book of Colossians, chapter 2, another usage of this word, babeo in the Greek. Colossians chapter 2. Very familiar verses here that we've heard many times. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Again, we've received Christ. We're in that stable and firm and established structure of Christ. But notice there's other things here. So walk ye in Him, verse 7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So the idea there of in the faith, of what we believe in Christ, the faith that we exercise in the truth of God's Word, to believe the truth and doctrines of Christ, that is what we believe in Christ is adding to the strength of this structure. Hebrews chapter 13. This is another important one. Hebrews chapter 13, another usage of this word. Just listen to this verse, chapter 13, verse 9. It says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats. Now, the idea of what the author of Hebrews is saying here is, it is grace that establishes your heart, not a bunch of ceremonial meats or ceremonial exercises. In other words, a lot of works. Or the things that we think we can do. Lord, I can be established in my own self. I can be strong enough in my own self. I don't, you know, need the grace of God. I'm just going to be strong in what I can do. And okay, the author here is saying we need to be established with grace. The only reason that we are in Christ and stable and firm is because He's poured out His grace in our lives. He's poured out favor above and beyond in our lives and done things for us that we cannot even ask or think. And He does above those things. And it is the grace of God that has put us in Christ. Now, this is the structure that we have. The solid stability for our Christian life. It's all that God is, plus the belief in Christ of what He is and knowing what Christ is and the grace that He pours in. The point is this. The structure and stability we have is all of God. It's all of Christ. Again, the past life of wavering and moving and going here and there. You know, what does the Bible say about the wicked? The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They're just unstable. They get blown around from one thing to the other. But the godly are planted. They're rooted. They're established. The roots run deep in Christ. And all of that is due to the grace of God. You know, consider perhaps your life as a Christian and just even in simple things or even in practical things, what you have in Christ, the blessings that God's given to all of us. You know, it's so easy many times just run through the day and the many things that we do. And, you know, we can go down to like the men, we went to Firehouse today. That was really good. Hope none of you are hungry. We went to Firehouse and I got extra pickles because some of the guys don't like their pickles. So Ben gave me his and I appreciate that. Chris, too, I think gave me his. So I ate a lot of pickles. But, you know, we can run down to the Firehouse and order the club on a sub or the hero or the engineer. Ryan's an engineer, you know. So we order a different sandwich and we just take out the old card, don't we? And just, well, it's not slide the card anymore. It's stick it in the slot and all this crazy stuff. Or we whip out our wallet and we pull out a 10 or a 20 or whatever. We don't even think about it. Oh, I bought lunch today. Well, that's the grace of God. Even something so simple as that, that we just many times don't even think about it. We just go and do and buy, and the Lord has blessed us. He's blessed us. We have no complaint. You know, there's, again, people that could be starving all over the world or having minimal or nothing. And our God is good to us in this country. And it's all of His grace that has brought stability. And He provides for us. He cares for us. That doesn't mean things are always rosy and wonderful. There may be hardships and suffering to go through. But the Lord has brought stability to our lives. Stability. Now, in light of that, what are we doing as Christians in the stability we have in Christ? What are we doing to solidify our life in Christ? Again, back to that concrete. What are the factors in that concrete that make it a hard and a firm and a reliable, system that's going to pass the tests and those kind of things? What factors involve themselves in that? Well, kind of the same idea in our Christian lives. There's factors that contribute to the establishment of my Christian life that is in Christ. And that's where this other Greek word comes in. The first Greek word was all about what we have in Christ, the stability in Christ. But now we have another Greek word that talks about how we can be established further in Christ by, of course, walking with the Lord. It's the word sterizo. It's one we looked at back in May. And it means to set fast. In other words, I've perhaps poured the concrete, and how is it going to dry? How is it going to set up the right way? I mean, I don't know how many of you ever dabbled in concrete a little bit. I remember when we built our house over there and had the driveway poured, Mr. Whitney called me and said, they're pouring the driveway. If you're going to put your handprints in there, you better get up here quick. And so I think we grabbed a couple of the kids from school and ran down there and we put our handprints in the driveway. And it was kind of cool. The concrete was setting up. Now, poor Jesse wasn't even born yet, so his name's not out there. But knowing him, he can probably go out there and etch it or something with his feet. So much energy. But we went out there and put our hands in it. It was setting up. It was getting firm. And we just put our hands in it and got it all good. Or I remember working with Roger and Chris over here pouring that slab that goes into the bathhouse, the handicap slide. And they were out there. I'd never done it before in my life, and I was there trying to, be an expert concrete worker, and I was slopping stuff up, and Chris was fixing it like normal. And, the concrete is setting up, and it's setting up hard, and you want a reliable, good mixture so that it doesn't crumble, so that it doesn't fall apart when the first pressure test comes or something happens to it. You want a solid foundation. Again, we're in Christ, but how am I mixing the concrete of my life, if that makes any sense? How am I mixing that? What factors are affecting the strengthening of my Christian life? God doesn't want us to be weak, little, small, tiny Christians of just kind of meandering around and floating around or just flopping around like a newborn. The Bible talks about desiring the sincere milk of the Word to grow. And the Lord wants us to strengthen our life. Yes, it's stable and strong in Christ. But what are we doing and what is going on in our hearts to establish our life? Let's notice some of these factors as we bring this down to a close here in a few minutes. First of all, let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. You can probably see these as I read these verses. Romans chapter 1. Again, we're looking for things that can influence or factors that can affect the strengthening of my life as a Christian. Romans chapter 1. Look at, we'll just start in verse number 10. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Paul wants to go visit them. Verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Now hold your finger there and go to 1 Thessalonians as well. That's after Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Just listen to this verse. It goes very similar. Paul said, I sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. Did you know that other people can contribute to the establishment of your life? Other people. Why did Paul want to go visit the Romans? To impart a spiritual gift to them that ye may be established. He sent Timothy to the Thessalonians so that he may establish them. Think about, again, as we studied a few weeks ago from the book of Ephesians, the gifts that we have that are people. The Ephesians talks about that God gave some apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists for the perfecting of the saints and the work of the ministry. The Lord gives those gifts, the ministry of others that can build us up spiritually. You know, think back perhaps to your life and the people that have had an influence in your life. maybe a mentor, or maybe it was your parents or your dad, or maybe a granddad, or maybe it was a teacher in school, or perhaps your pastor, your youth pastor, those that have had a spiritual influence in your life. You know, our world today is deeply lacking those kind of heroes, if you want to call them that. Of course, we point to the sports heroes, and people follow the movie stars and follow everybody else on social media and all these reality, this, that, and the other. And we're not really looking at the people that God puts in my life that can establish and can strengthen me. You know, but the thing about that is we have to be willing to allow others to have that influence in our heart. We have to have that teachable spirit. You know, I think about even the Thessalonians. You know, Timothy was a young man. And I'm sure it was difficult for them to see this, you know, young whippersnapper coming in. And he's going to tell the Thessalonians how to do things. I'm sure they didn't like that too much. But he said that Timothy came and established them. Again, the Thessalonians had to have an open heart to receive that, to listen to God's word. You know, we should be thankful for the many that are in our life, perhaps, that help us be established in the faith, that help us be established in the things of the Lord. I'm so thankful that I was able to grow up in a Christian home. I had Christian parents and a mom and dad that loved the Lord, that taught us the Bible, that had us in Christian school, took us to church faithfully, and we were able to learn about the truth. You know, and I remember one of the things, you take some things for granted. I guess I was a naive when I first started teaching way back 13, 14 years ago. I thought all kids in a Christian school knew all the books of the Bible and all those kind of things. I didn't really get the whole open enrollment thing fully all the way. And I was like, wow, these kids, we're going to have a Bible quiz. We're going to list the books of the Bible. And then over half the class couldn't list 10 of them. I was like, well, we got a lot of work to do. Well, that's our society. Our parents aren't teaching simple things like that. They aren't taking kids to church. They aren't taking them to Sunday school. They're not able to learn just even simple things of the Bible, much less the deeper truths about God's Word. And I'm thankful that I had people in my life that helped me to be established in the Lord. And my mom was, I remember we were talking, was it last night we were talking about answering the phone? I think that's what we were talking about at dinner, wasn't it, Isaac? And I said, boy, my mom, when we answered the phone, we got in trouble at home if we didn't answer the phone the right way. You know, so not only was she teaching us, you know, spiritual things, but she was also teaching us proper things, you know, and if she heard us go, hello, you'd be getting it. This is the Watt residence, may I help you? And that sounds, well, that sounds kind of weird. That's the way my mom was, buddy. She stuck to it. She used to teach us etiquette classes and all those things, and a lot of fun to spend your summer taking etiquette classes at night. But that was my mom. She taught us a lot of good stuff. I'm thankful for that. It establishes you. Think about, again, those in your life, a parent, a grandparent, pastor, teacher, youth, whatever it was, that has helped you become established. Don't be so proud in your heart and life that you aren't willing to allow the gift of other people to help you grow in Christ. And Paul said, he was that gift to the Romans. Timothy was that gift to the Thessalonians. Listening to those, again, you want to follow those that follow Christ, of course, obviously. But they could be a blessing to build your life and to minister in your life as well. Let's go to another thing, Romans chapter 16. I think we looked at this verse a few months ago as part of our study, but just maybe in a different light. Romans chapter 16. What is another aspect of establishing? What's another factor that can help us be established in grace and in God? Chapter 16, verse 25. Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Why is it so important to listen to the preaching of God's Word? Because we can learn from this book to be strengthened in our Christian life. And again, I know we put a lot of other things, it seems, in our religious culture of America today, we put a lot of other things in front of the preaching of God's Word. It's not really as loved anymore or liked anymore. And people are doing perhaps little book studies or all those different things. And I understand the certain context for that. But we've got to stick to the preaching of God's Word. If we aren't studying God's Word and listening and learning from His Scripture and from His truth, that's one of the key things that helps us grow and to be mature. It's a key ingredient to our growth and maturity in Christ. I encourage you to listen to God's Word. Listen to it. Desire its exposition. Desire to know more about God's Word, and growth will happen in your life. Another aspect, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, another factor in our establishment not just other people that minister to us, not just the preaching of God's Word, but also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Why? "To the end, He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God." Brotherly love. Love for each other. Genuine care and concern for each other. Treating others as we would like ourselves to be treated. It sounds so cliché-ic. But many times, I mean, sometimes some of the most hateful people are so-called Christians. I hate to say that, but that comes across many times. You're out maybe with someone and they're about to bite your head off, and then they turn around and go, "Oh yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to such and such, blah, blah, blah." Well, where's love? You know what? Love for each other covers a lot of things. Love for each other covers our little inadequacies and our little mistakes that we make and our words that we get mixed up, or sometimes we make fools out of ourselves and things like that. Love for each other covers those type of things. And so abound in love one toward another. When you love each other in Christ, you're strengthening. You're actually establishing, verse 13, your heart. And making your life stronger in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you love others, your whole perspective of life will change. And the last one, as our time is going, the last one, 1 Peter chapter 5. I know this has been quick and simple, and I know I talk fast. I apologize for that. 1 Peter chapter 5, the last one, verse number 10. Again, other people can strengthen my life. The preaching of God's Word can strengthen my life. My love for other people and their love for me can strengthen my life. But then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus," notice this next phrase, "after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Did you know that suffering can strengthen your life? The things that the Lord perhaps brings you through, the hardships maybe in your life that you have to confront, things that you never expected to happen, things, situations that may pop up instantaneously. And it's a hardship. It's hard to go through. It's tough to go through. But I've found something even in my years of ministry, that when you go through something difficult and hard, you always learn something, don't you? You learn and you grow in Christ, and you learn how to better handle situations when they come up again. And so suffering and hardships and difficulties, and, you know, I think about, we again, in America, we've got it easy. I think about those missionaries in fields where people die for their faith or are physically persecuted and physically suffer. And, you know, we may have a little bit of mental suffering here and there and hardships that we have to go through, or, you know, physical situations that come up, or diseases and deaths in the family and all those different things that can come up in our life. But what is the purpose of that? It's time for us in those difficulties to say, "Well, Lord, You're trying to perfect me. You're trying, as this verse says, to establish, strengthen, and settle me even deeper and firmer and closer to the Lord." So allow the Lord to work in those hardships to conform us more to the image of Christ through the grace of God. Again, we are in the structure of Christ. We're in Him. We're in the sphere of Christ, and nothing can harm us. But as a Christian, there are things that strengthen my life that I could take advantage of. I can take advantage of the others in my life that are spiritual people. Again, when you surround yourself by worldly people, your life is not going to be established. It's not going to be strengthened. I tell the young people many times, especially in chapel, you know, be careful who you hang around and who you're putting in your life. Well, how are they going to help you spiritually? If they're worldly and they don't care about the things of the Lord, and they're always belittling and making fun of the things of Christ, they're not going to establish you as a Christian. But to put yourself around those that can strengthen your life, that's one of the things that we talked about. Then the preaching of God's Word, the preaching about Christ, brotherly love, and even suffering and hardship, that the Lord will use different things in our life to strengthen us, to draw us closer to His Son. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this brief message from Your Word, the encouragement that it was to my own heart. Father, to be established in You in a greater way. Thank You, Father, that we are in Christ and that we are established in Him and firm, and our feet are set upon a rock. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to the Word of God, that we would be faithful to those that You've put in our lives that are trying to teach us about the Word of God, that we would listen, that we wouldn't allow pride to come up in our way. Father, I pray that we would love each other as your word commands us to. That we would love the preaching of God's word, and that even in suffering and hardship, we'd be able to draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for again this time, and bless now as we take some requests before your throne in Christ's name. Amen.